Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back with you again here in Westside Baptist Bandon. And if you have a Bible, please turn to Mark chapter 8. You've had plenty of indication and hint about what the scripture reading is this morning. If you turn to Mark chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 27, and we're going to read to the end of verse 1 in chapter 9. And then I'm going to preach. And actually, what I'm going to preach, if you were listening carefully, everyone, what Glenn said in the opening 10 minutes, we could have all could have just sung the final hymn and gone home. So I will be very surprised if you hear anything new or different today. And if you hear something new or different, you might have to stop and think, wait a minute, is this guy for real? Is this guy speaking the truth? Because we have God's word, and God's word is true, and it's constant, and it's always the same. So if some of you are sitting thinking to yourselves, oh, I'm a bit bored this morning, I've not heard anything new, I've not heard anything different, hallelujah that we've not heard anything different, because Jesus is king. And we're going to read about what kind of king he is in our reading. So Mark chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 27. This is the word of God. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a person to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can a person give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. Have you ever wondered about what other people think about you? Or have you ever thought to yourself that nobody understands me? You're always feeling as if you're misunderstood. Well, in the reading we've just heard, the Lord Jesus asked his disciples two questions. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And when you and I wonder what people think of us, usually we do that because we're worried about our reputation, or we do it because we're insecure. Well, the Lord Jesus was not worried about his reputation. The Lord Jesus knew he was king. And the Lord Jesus was not insecure. The Lord Jesus knew who he was. He knew who his Father was. And the Lord Jesus was full of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus was not insecure, but he was misunderstood. And people did not know who he was. If a king or a president or an important person walked into the building today, and if that person had all their security around them and all the power and all the wealth that goes with being an important person, you and I would not rebuke them. You and I would not go against them, because unless we were a bit daft, we would not want to suffer the consequences of rebuking the president. But that's exactly what Peter did in this reading, didn't he? Peter rebuked King Jesus because King Jesus was misunderstood when he was in the world. You see, there was confusion about Jesus. People were confused about who he was. People were confused about his work in the world. And people were confused about what he expected of them. Confusion about his identity, confusion about his work, confusion about his call and his commands. And when we get one of those things wrong, one of those three things wrong, we get all of them wrong. Why should you and I be a Christian this morning? How can we become Christians? What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, the identity of Jesus, the work of Jesus, and the call of Jesus answer those questions. And when we understand those things, we can better understand what it means to be a Christian. So in verse 27 to 29, the identity of Jesus. Verse 31 to 33, we read about the work of Jesus. And in verses 34 to 38, we read about the call of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus calls us to a very definite way of life. Who is Jesus? Well, in verse 29, Peter gave the correct answer, didn't he? You are the Christ. Some of you will remember the Christ, or Christ is a word, and it means anoint or anointed one. And in the Old Testament, three types of people within Israel were anointed. Now, can anybody tell me what three types of people were anointed in the Old Testament? Shout out three of them that I've got. King, are you... You've given the right answer first, Dave. The prophets were anointed, the priests were anointed, and kings were anointed. So in your readings in 1 Samuel, you've read about how Saul was anointed by Samuel. And then if you carry on reading into 1 Samuel, I can't remember exactly where it is. It might be chapter 16 next week. But David was anointed to be king. And throughout the history of Israel, there was this great hope that a Messiah king would be sent into the world, that God would raise up a savior, a king in the line of King David. And through that king, God was going to establish his kingdom in the world. Peter took that idea and he applied it to Jesus. You are the Christ. And he was correct to do that. Peter had all the words right. Up until this point in Mark's gospel, no human person has ever identified Jesus properly. God the Father had. Back in verse 11 of chapter 1, a voice from heaven came, "You are my son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased." God the Father knew who Jesus was. Also in chapter 1, we read that the demons and the spirits, the evil spirits, knew who Jesus was. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But only halfway through Mark's gospel do we get a human voice saying, "You are the Christ." And it's a breakthrough moment. A breakthrough, but only if it's understood along with the work of Jesus. The work of Jesus. Verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer, be rejected, be killed, and 3 days later, rise again. The Lord Jesus started to teach the disciples, but the disciples either didn't want to believe or did not understand. The reason that you are sometimes misunderstood is because other people don't appreciate or don't understand the things that you want to do or the things that you need to do. And here, Jesus started to explain what he was going to do. And the Lord Jesus explained that he was going to suffer, he was going to die at the hands of the authorities. And when he explained what he was going to do, the disciples just didn't get it. Because it went against everything that they expected of a savior. How could this be true, Jesus? If this is what you really think, Jesus, something's not right. And Peter could not square the circle. And the problem was that Jesus was absolutely clear. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Jesus was clear. He was plain. And that's an important lesson for us. It was not the early church that defined the gospel. It was not the apostles who made up the gospel about the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Paul the Apostle, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he explains how we preach Christ crucified, stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles. But it was not Paul who made up the message of the gospel. Wasn't the other apostles. No, the Lord Jesus himself. Before the cross, before his resurrection, the Lord Jesus himself taught and explained the message of the gospel. And so two things we've seen so far. The Lord Jesus asked about his identity so that they might know who he was. And the Lord Jesus explained his work, that he had to suffer, he had to die, he had to be raised from the dead. And the Lord Jesus calls people to follow him as the crucified Savior. That's the third thing this morning. Jesus calls people to give up their lives. The Lord Jesus calls people to carry their crosses so that they might follow him and know him as Savior and Lord. Jesus explained the cost of being the Savior. And the Lord Jesus was also very clear about the cost of being his disciple. You see, there's benefit, there is reward in being a Christian. But disciples need to be in no doubt about the cost. Look at verse 34. Look at verse 34. The Lord Jesus called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." And at this point in the story, Jesus starts to open up the conversation to the crowd because Jesus wants all people to know the gospel. And Jesus wants all people to know the full cost of being his disciple. The only way to follow Jesus is the way of self-denial. The only way to follow Jesus is the way of the cross. And so what's the cost of being a Christian this morning? What's the cost of following Jesus, being a disciple this morning? The cost is everything. The cost is everything. Do you see the imagery here? The imagery of the cross. Now for us, the imagery of the cross is one thing. Put your hand up if you've ever seen a person crucified in the flesh, in real life. What's wrong? Why are there no hands up? The original readers of Mark's Gospel, the original readers of Mark's Gospel, hearers of Mark's Gospel, would have been people living under the threat of actual crucifixion. And knowing and reading these words of Jesus would have been so much more direct and powerful for them than for us. When Jesus says, if anyone would follow me, let them take up their cross. Take up their cross and walk with their cross to their death, the way that Jesus himself would carry his cross to his death. The cost of being a Christian can sometimes be very great. Attacks on our reputation. Who do you think you are? I know about you. I know where you're from. I know the things you've done. Attacks on our integrity. You're not telling the truth, are you? You're trying to hoodwink us. You're trying to cover. Derision. Mockery. Some of you go to school, don't you? You're at primary school or whatever school you're at, secondary school. Some of you, a bit older, you've moved on to college. But those of you that are listening to me and following me, you're old enough and you're savvy enough, you know enough, and you know that being a Christian, or you know that attending a church like Westside Baptist Church, and you know that is not cool, and you know that could get you into awkward situations if there's questions asked. What did you do on Sunday morning? Where were you on Sunday? I tell them what I was doing, what will they think of me? And when King Jesus, when the Lord Jesus spoke these words, he was speaking to you. He was speaking to you, and he was thinking of you as you go to school, as you go to college. He was speaking into your situation. He was speaking into your life. And he was calling you. He is inviting you to trust him. He's inviting you to follow him. And it's not just school or college. Those of you that are beyond those stages of life, it's your work, isn't it? Those of you who work in organizations, offices, shops, and as a Christian, you will have nowhere to hide. Tomorrow morning on the shop floor, tomorrow morning on the farm, tomorrow morning, whatever office you find yourself in, you might get asked the same question. What were you doing over the weekend? Where were you? Where were you yesterday? Did you have a good day yesterday? I had a wonderful day yesterday. I was praising the King of the universe. However you say it, are you going to follow Jesus? because the Lord Jesus is clear. Whether it's school, college, whether it's our work. For some of you, it's your families. Since you've become a Christian, and life in your family is now difficult, and the Lord Jesus calls you. He calls you to take up your cross, and he calls you to follow him, and he calls you to trust him. Because Jesus found it difficult in his family, didn't he? Somebody might need to look up the verses for me. Is it Mark chapter 6 where we read about the family of Jesus and they thought he was mad? They thought he was mad. They were concerned about his well-being because he was teaching these kind of things. And some of you, your experience in your families, and your families are concerned about you. Because you go to that church, you're one of those Baptists, and the Lord Jesus knows. The Lord Jesus is kind. I was so pleased. Those of you that were sitting down the front, and those of you that gave the answers about what Jesus is like, and when you started to talk about how Jesus is gentle, when you started to talk about how Jesus was kind, I thought to myself, wow! I've never heard such wonderful answers from a group of young people about what Jesus is like. So I'm not going to get you all to give yourselves a big round of applause, but it was wonderful for me to hear some of you at the children's talk describe Jesus as gentle. And you know the verse that came to my mind when I heard that? I almost changed my text for the sermon this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, says Jesus. Come to me, says Jesus. All you who are weary, all you who are burdened, all you who find it difficult carrying your cross. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle. And I am humble. I am King Jesus. I am the Messiah. I know my Father. My Father knows me. He has called me to this work. I am gentle. I am humble. Trust me. Trust me. There's only one thing that will help us live the Christian life. And the one thing that makes the difference is the thing that Jesus explains in verses 38 and verse 1 of chapter 9 as I close. Verse 38, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. And the difference is the death and resurrection of Jesus. The disciples were going to witness the suffering of Jesus. The disciples were going to see and know his death on the cross, but they were also going to see the glory of his resurrection. And the Lord is teaching that his death and resurrection are the kingdom of God. His death and resurrection are the power that will uphold his disciples when it gets hard. And the death, the resurrection of Jesus is the key that unlocks the confusion and the misunderstanding about Jesus. The only way to be a Christian is to be a disciple of Christ crucified. And when we follow Jesus like that, then we'll come to know Jesus as the one who conquered death. He's crucified. But that's in the past tense. He's no longer the crucified Christ in that sense. He's alive now. And as the King in heaven, he still calls people to himself. And that's why Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says these words, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, that I may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, so that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Persecution, suffering, a cross for the sake of Jesus. But those things are never without glory. Those things are never without reward. Power and resurrection life. The forgiveness of sins. The hope of new creation. What have we been hearing about this morning from start to finish? We've been hearing about King Jesus, the Son of God, the Saviour. We've thought about his work on the cross, how he redeemed and saved sinners. And it is King Jesus who calls you to himself. It's King Jesus who calls you to follow him, to live for him, so that your life might be saved. Have you thought about how you would answer the question this morning? Who do you say that Jesus is? Glenn started the service with that question this morning, didn't he? And that's how we're concluding. Who do you say that Jesus is? Have you decided to put all other things in second place? Everything in second place? Because you know that Jesus is Lord, Saviour, King. And knowing that his death and resurrection are your only hope for salvation and life, will you lose your life? Will you give up anything that threatens your love for Jesus? Can you see how it's worth it this morning? If anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will actually save it. And sometimes we want to hold on, grasp to things. But here the Lord Jesus says, let go. Let go of everything else. Cling to me. Cling to the cross that I have given to you. Your souls, your lives will be safe because Jesus is King. May God help us to take up our cross, follow Christ. May God help us to rejoice and be glad in our knowledge of him. I'll pray and then the folks will come and close the service. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you and thank you so much for King Jesus. Thank you that he came into the world as the Son of God, the one who was with you in the beginning, the one who was God. And we thank you so much that he gave up his reputation, as it were. He was not concerned about that so much as saving sinners, showing his love for sinners, and glorifying you in his work and ministry. So, Father, help us to know and love him. Help us to follow him no matter the cost, knowing that he is a wonderful Savior. Lord, we offer up our praise in his glorious name. Amen.